Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. New beginning is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for another opportunity to come together and to share a word from the Lord. I would like to take a moment after we have prayer and introduce our host for this evening. We're going to have prayer, then we are going to turn it over to Bishop Harris out of Chicago, Illinois. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Father, we thank you for all the listeners. We thank you for those who are listening by phone. We thank you for those who are listening by internet, Heavenly Father, and those that wanted to listen and who was not able to be a part of this time. We ask, Heavenly Father, blessings upon all the hearers, Heavenly Father. Bless the man who's going to speak tonight, Heavenly Father. Let us hear a word from him, Heavenly Father. Let us be open and let us be available as we receive the word from the man of God. We just give you the honor and the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Okay, Bishop Harris, are you on? Bishop Harris? Bishop Harris, are you on? Bishop Harris.
Yes, I'm on.
Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We do thank you for taking the opportunity out of your busy schedule to just to come and share a word with us this evening. I would like to also introduce you to him. He is from the Church of Ephesus in Chicago, Illinois, and is Bishop Eddie Harris. And he's going to be sharing with us from Daniel 3:16. And we're just anxious to hear what he has to say and receive a word from the man of God. Bishop Harris, we're going to turn this over to you, and we are going to listen, and we just thank you for your time. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Truly, I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for giving the chance to speak and to be a blessing. Amen. And I thank God for this opening, because this is truly a great mission that is here and that's going out. So I thank God for that. Again, we said that we're going to start tonight in Daniel, the 3rd chapter, about the 16th verse. And it reads, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, and their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning furnace. Therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered, They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. And I'm going to stop right there for the moment. And if we would take a topic for this evening, our topic would be, there's a blessing in the midst of the fire.
Amen.
There is a blessing in the midst of the fire. When we go back up to verse 16, and we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I begin to look at that, and I begin to think, and I'm sure we all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the story of King Nebuchadnezzar. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. But we find here three Hebrew boys that were nobodies, pretty much, that lived out in the country, but they knew in whom they believed. And they would not bow down to what the king said. Even when it became a matter of life and death, they took the point of, we're going to worship God by any means necessary. And what I like about these first couple verses here, he says, if it be so, our God we serve is able to deliver us. But in 18, he said, but if not, be it known unto thee, king, we still are not going to serve you. And as we dwell into that this evening, we have to realize that that's how we have to become. They understood and knew that God was able. But because of the worship that lied inside of them and because of the belief, they said that even if he does not deliver us, we're still not going to bow down. And when we finally get to a place that we understand that there's worship inside of us, as I preach Sunday, worship has to become a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And when you do more than just worship in church, and when the music is going real well and you begin to feel something, we think, oh, that's worship. Oh, I'm believing in God. No, that's a feeling. We didn't get so caught up emotionally, and we attach our emotions to that of a spiritual basis. But here are three Hebrew boys who knew what they were facing and knew what they were looking at and walked into it dead on, saying, we trust God. And that's how we've got to become today, that no matter what Satan puts in front of us and what he gives us, we realize Satan, it is just an illusion. Amen. Because Satan is one of the greatest illusionists there ever was. He can paint such a picture and add so many dimensions to it till when you look at it, you believe that, wow, I'm stuck right here in the middle of this. But when you realize greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, you realize that, you know what, Satan, even though you paint me, I'm ahead and I'm going to take it head on. Mm-hmm. And so we look in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, realize what they were headed against. But they said, the God we serve, king, is greater than any fire you can put us in. Mm-hmm. And the God we serve is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't deliver us, he's still God. And what you have to realize is that, first of all, you've got to know that God is able to deliver you from whatever your situation is. We tend to believe that our situations are bigger than God and that he can't deliver us from this. But what I've learned is when I've got a situation, I look at the situation and I say, situation, let me introduce you to God. And then I say, God, here's my situation. Because he's bigger than my situation. And I realize that even if he doesn't deliver me, it's not that he wasn't able to. But I don't get an attitude or I don't get upset. I realize that maybe this was something that I had to go through. Maybe the test that I'm going through is that there's a blessing in the middle of my test. There's a blessing coming out of what I'm going through. I'm sure that the Hebrew boys didn't exactly realize what's going to happen going into the fire. But they trusted God enough to say, oh, well, bring it. We're going to go head on, and we're going to go into the fire. And so as we look, we see where it says in 17, I'm sorry, in 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship that golden image which thou hast set up. How many times Satan do that to us? I got everything you need right here, but I need you to do this. I call it the indecent proposal. And we tend to fall for the indecent proposal because we are leery on our faith. But the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of what we can't see. See, Satan will give you something tangible and something you can see, but just because you can see it don't mean it's a blessing. Just because it's there for you and it's right there that you can put it in your hands and it becomes a tangible substance doesn't mean that it's a blessing. In verse 19, it says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was. So the king got so mad, he said, I want you to make the furnace 7 times hotter than what it was before. And that's just like the devil. When you go to trust God and you don't fall and the devil can't get his way, he's got to act out. He's got to throw a fit because that's all he can do. But see, when you come to the conclusion and come to the point that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal but are mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, these young men realize that you might have a fire that you're throwing us in, but our God is greater than the fire. And when you realize and you begin to tell the devil, bring it on, oh, let me tell you, get ready, because he's going to throw a hissy fit. My dad used to say, Carter said, when you can't have your way, you throw a hissy fit. And when Satan can't have his way, he begins to throw a fit. So he starts to throw everything at you that he's got, because all he's got is his illusions to throw at you. But if you just stay with your trust and with your faith, the Bible tells us no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He never said that the weapon wouldn't be formed. He never said that the weapon wouldn't be launched. But he said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So it might be launched. It might come and look like it's going to cause damage, but you've got to stand on what you believe and know that you know that you know that you know that greater is he. I got power on the inside. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So, Satan, as much as you come to shake me, as much as you come to try me, as much as you try to get at me, I do not have a spirit of fear. Now, you might get a little nervous. You might get a little shaky. These things do tend to happen. But you do not have to be fearful, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Amen. Do we have any comments before we go any further?
Amen. If you are listening by phone, if you hit number one, if you have a comment, just hit number one and the microphone will light up and we will connect you in. Again, for those who are listening, anyone who is listening to 1-684-7-312-708, any of the numbers that's listening, just hit number one if you have a comment as Bishop Harris is speaking or if there's any questions.
Amen. Well, we're going to move on to verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I read that, and I got a kick out of that. Satan will get so mad and start throwing such a fit. And if you just stand still, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it didn't say they fought. It didn't say that they gave a hard time. They were tied up. And their oppressors were throwing them in the fire. But the fire was so hot till it killed their oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blessing in the midst of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, you looking at the fire and looking at what you're about to go into, but don't realize the fire is hot enough to get rid of the problem that you had in the beginning.
Hmm.
The first part of their problem was there was men that was putting them in the fire. But Nebuchadnezzar, being as mad as he was, lit the fire up so high till he burnt his own men up. Now, part two to that is they were bound. They were tied up. Hands tied up. Everything tied up. Somebody's in a tied up position this evening. You tied up with your bills. You tied up with your job. You tied up at your house. You tied up with frustration. You tied up with depression. But what happened when they went in the fire?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't burnt. But the bands that tied them up were. Because it says when they were in the fire, they were walking around loose.
Amen.
Sometimes you need to go into the fire in order for the bands that have had you tied up to be loose. Oh, we're going to help somebody get loose this evening.
Amen.
See, you're still holding on to a situation, and you're standing there scared of the fire. Oh, God, I can't go into that. God, I can't. God, what am I going to do? When all the time the fire is to release you. The fire is to set you free. But you'd rather be tied up and be scared than to trust God. But these young men said, we're going to trust God. So now they tied up, getting ready to go to the fire. You've been tied up. Your job is not doing what you wanted to do. And it looks like you can't pay none of your bills. And you look like, God, I'm going to just go into the fire and I'm going to die. But how do you know that if you don't go into the fire, that there may be a blessing on the other side of the fire?
Mm-hmm.
But you're so worried about being tied up. See, we look at the minute things and we don't look at the larger picture.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look at God. We look at what's in front of us. We don't remember what he says. All of a sudden, when things start to go wrong, we forget anything that's been taught to us. Anything, we say that we're Bible scholars and we know the Bible and all of this, and the minute something hits us, we forget.
Mm-hmm.
We can't think of nothing because all we see is they talking about repossessing my car.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe repossessing your car might not be such a bad thing. Well, Bishop, why would you say something like that? Why would repossession of my car not be a bad thing? How old is your car? You pouring every penny you got into it, trying to keep it going and holding on to something that God's trying to get rid of to give you something new.
Mm.
But you still holding on to it. You worrying about a job that's not even giving you enough money to pay your bills. You robbing Peter to pay Paul. You can't make it, but you still trying to hold on rather than trust God. My dad once told me a story. He said that there was a man, and he slid, and he fell off a cliff, and he was holding onto a branch. And he began to holler, "Help, is there anybody up there?" And he couldn't hear nothing. So he hollered out again, "Help, is there anybody up there?" Finally, a still voice said, "I'm here. Let go of the tree and trust me." The voice came back again, said, "I'm here. Let go of the tree and trust me." And the man began to holler, "Help, is there anybody else up there?" And so many times, that's how we are. God is saying, let go of what you're holding on to and trust me. And we say, "Oh, no, is there anybody else around? Because this ain't the right word." We too busy trying to tell God what to do than trying to hear God. Mm-hmm. But these young men begin to listen. And as they listen and trusted God, it says in 22. Actually, we're going to go to 23. "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Then answered and said unto the king, true, O king." Mm-hmm. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire."
Hallelujah.
Now they went in bound up. They went in tied up. But once they was in the fire, their bounds was gone. Mm-hmm. And now they were free walking in the midst of the fire. He might not show up when you want him, but he's always mm-hmm. right on time.
Amen.
I preached the message that he was there all the time. See, he's omnipresent. He's always there. He said, "I'm the beginning and I'm the end." He knew that they were going to go into the fire. He knew that they were going to be cast into the fire. But he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." So no matter what you're going through and what you're dealing with, God is always right there in the midst of it.
Amen.
He didn't let them go through the fire by themselves. He got right in the midst of the fire with them and began to walk around in the fire. You worried about going in the fire and getting into the situation, but God said, "I'm right in the midst of the situation."
Amen. Amen.
You worried about walking into the middle of the storm and going into it, but God said, "I control the storm."
Amen.
But see, in the midst of the fire, they lost a few things. It says that their legs were bound, their hands were bound, their hosing, the clothes that they wore, were all tied up. So if you allow me to begin to imagine, and you'll go out on the wings of imagination with me, these guys were bound up and chained, hand to foot, and wrapped up so they couldn't move. But it's something about being in the midst of the fire and God coming and stepping in the midst of the fire, all the chains begin to break. Somebody need their chains broke this evening. And he said, "I come to break the chains that bind. I've got you in the fire for a reason. I'm putting you in the middle of the fire for a reason. There is a reason I'm doing what I'm doing." We got
Amen.
To stop questioning God. We got to stop trying to figure God out. We trying to figure out, well, why God? As far as we are, the earth is from the heaven, as far as his thoughts is from us. If we just stop trying to figure God out and let God do what it is that he's got to do. But no, we don't want to do that. We want to question God. These young men, all they knew is who they believe. In God we believe. In God we know. That's where our faith lies. If he's going to save us, he's going to save us. But if we perish, we perish. But no matter what, we still believe God. And that's where you got to come to. No matter what, whatever the situation, I still believe God. I still believe that God is the God that's going to save me, that he's the God that's going to make a way for me. But we just don't understand. But I'm going to divert away from Daniel for just a moment and go over to Psalms. Psalms, the 23rd verse. I'm sorry. Psalms, the 23rd chapter and about the 4th verse. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou are with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. But the thing that I like is this part right here in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Sometimes your blessing is right there in the midst of the fire.
Amen, amen.
Sometimes, there was an old saying, say the best way to hide a thing is to hide it in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, your blessing is sitting right in the middle of your enemies. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Right in the middle of my enemies is where he prepared my table. But in the middle of my enemies, my cup runneth over, and he's going to anoint my head and protect me from my enemies.
Amen.
And then he said, my cup runneth over. But in 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Hallelujah.
So even if I let you go through the fire, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow you. So while you're in the fire, I put a protection round and about you, because I've told you over in Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think of you. I know the plan that I have laid out for you. I know what it is that I want. I want you to prosper. I want you to be in good health. I know the thoughts that I think of you, but sometimes the way that I have to do a thing, you might not understand it. You might not understand the gist of what's going on and how it's working out, but know that it's working for your good.
Amen.
Bishop, it don't seem like it's working for my good. It seems like I'm about to fall apart. It seems like everything is coming to an end. It seems like everything is just going away. But if you just go through the fire, oh, I tell you, there's a blessing in the midst of the fire. There's a blessing. Before I go any further, we're going to open up and see if there are any comments.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a good word, my brother. For anyone who's listening in by or via phone, if you would just hit the number 1 and you can ask any questions, and we'll open up the lines for you. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up all of the lines. And if you have a comment, please do share what's on your heart. We have a few numbers here, a lot of numbers here. So if you would just put a comment, and you will, the lines open up for everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
This is Eve. Evangelist Dominique, I was just, hey Bishop, how are you? And hi, Mr. Host. I didn't catch your name when we started, but I just want to say this word is truly rich tonight, and I thank you for it. And keep preaching the word and teaching the word.
Here, send me that 20 back.
You want to stop me to send me?
Mm-hmm. Here, it's 15. I ate a little while ago.
Anyone else would like to make a comment?
I'm not gonna
need nothing. I'm gonna try and get through without an ice cream tonight. I ate so much last night.
We don't know who that is.
Okay, we're headed to the post office.
Amen. Please mute your phone.
Put them in the back.
Okay. If you are talking in the background, please mute your phone because we hear everything that you're saying.
Well, baby, I'm just riding around in my car.
Okay. I don't think we really want to hear that. Well, Bishop, I would like to make a comment that in terms of what you're saying, I like that comment when you said your father said 50-50. When we're doing right, to the good that we do, evil is always present. So we're always going to be challenged to change our direction or change our commitment. And, it's definitely a good word, that you hear. And when I look at this, I see discipline, commitment, and accountability. And God is looking for us to basically just to stand firm, whatever we're going through, to stand firm and know that God is going to get us out of that fire. He's going to work it all out. So it has been truly a blessing and a good word that you have shared with us this evening. Anyone else would like to make a comment, please hit number one on your phone and we will open up that line for you. Anyone else? We have a lot of numbers on here, and if you have to hit number one, okay, Bishop, we're going to turn it right back over to you.
Amen. We're going to go down to we're back in Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near, verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's council, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. When I read this, I really like this because this puts such a great twist on this story. Because they weren't cast in the fire secretly. This was a public thing. It was done publicly.
Mm-hmm.
They went through, let's say, a public humiliation. Because publicly, they stood against the king. And a lot of times, if we would just publicly stand for God, but we don't want to do that. We got to keep quiet. We can't, I can't say that. They're not going to allow that at my job. I can't do that. They're going to look at me as if I'm funny. They're going to look at me rather different, and I don't want them looking at me that way. But look at this. Three Hebrew boys. And now we do, as they say, a backstory. They were just some young men learning the way of God and believing God, not bothering nobody. They weren't rich. They didn't have a bunch of money. They basically were peasants. They weren't even important to the king. If they hadn't begun to make no noise for God, the king would have never knew who they were. They were just three simple Hebrew boys who had love for God. But God will take a bad situation and put a spin on it. And when he's done, he'll put you in the eyesight of the Most High. Now, had they bowed down to the king, And had they bowed down to the idol gods, they would have stayed three Hebrew boys that nobody never knew nothing about. Three peasants. But because they stood for what they believed, see, the old saying is true. You've got to stand for something or it's not your fault for anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you just stand in the midst of what you're going through, and even though it might seem like a public situation and a public humiliation because you don't have the money that you used to have, and you don't have the resources that you used to have, and you're not driving like you used to drive, and you're not living the way you used to live, but in the midst of all of that, you still say, Lord, I trust you. And God, I trust and I believe. And God, I stand for. No matter what Satan brings, I'm going to stand. God will take it and turn it around.
Right.
They went through the fire in front of everybody. But when they came out, look at who was impressed. When they came out, princes, governors, captain, and the king's council, they went from nobodies to somebodies in a matter of minutes. God will take you and you think you downtrodden and beat out and don't have nothing else left. And if you just go through the fire and come out of the fire, he'll place you right where you want to be. You trying to, I got to fix my resume this way, and I got to add this wording to it, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you just stand still, don't do nothing, and let God work, you were made to worship. You weren't made to worry. That's why you're sick and going through all the problems you're going through. Your job is to worship. If you just stand still and be accountable to God, not to ComEd, not to your job, not to the mortgage company, but be accountable to God. And if you do God's work, God will do your work.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you this evening, God will work a whole lot harder than you can ever imagine.
Amen.
If you stand still and do what God told you to do, God will show off. You look at these Hebrew boys, some nobodies. Songwriter wrote a song, said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. These were just three nobodies that trusted God and believed God. They wasn't trying to make a show. They wasn't trying to be important. They just believed God. They said, we're not going to fall for what the king has. You got to come to a point that I'm not going to fall for what the devil has given me. I'm no go back. The God that I trust, the God that I serve, the God that I believe is stronger than anything Satan can put in front of me. And when you do that, God will spin your situation around and will bring you out and turn you around. I look at this and I say, he brought them from nobodies and put them in front of all of these important people. And they begin to notice and they begin to see. 28 says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Now, that's the twist to it. Because when it was all said and done, it wasn't even about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
That's right. That's it.
Right. When it was all said and done, it was so that the glory of God could be shown to the king to change the king's mind. You all worried about what you're going through and what you're dealing with and talking about, oh, God, everybody's seeing me, but it ain't even about you, baby. You're worried about you, but it ain't about you. God is using you to let his glory be seen by somebody else.
Amen.
That's it.
And at the end of the day, he give you double for your trouble.
Yeah.
See, he allowed the king to make the decree. He knew the king was going to make the decree. And he knew that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not going to bow down.
Yes.
Does God know that you're not going to bow down?
Hey, Aparusia.
See, you got to ask yourself, can God trust me with trouble? Because, see, when he trusts you with trouble, it's so that you can be a light to somebody else. And because of your situation and your trouble being a light to somebody else, then the blessing comes out of the midst of the fire. See, there was a twofold blessing in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar's heart got changed. And he went instantly, not long down the road, but instantly said, the God of these boys is going to be everybody's God.
Hey, Caparosi Iata. That's good.
And while you're worrying about what you're dealing with, God is using you as a light to bring somebody else in. But as it ended out, look at what happened. The king made a decree. Then the king promoted. Tell somebody, say the promotion is on the way.
The promotion is on the way.
He promoted them because of their faithfulness. Because they went through the fire, the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They went from little old boys that just loved God and trusted God to being promoted to being up there with the king. If you just stand still, there's a blessing in the midst of the fire because God has created the fire. See, what God has done is he's taken and created a situation. But you just got to walk. The Bible says the footsteps of a good man are ordered by God. Let God order your steps. Yes, it might look like you walking right dead smack into the middle of the fire, but if you just walk and trust God, oh, I tell you, see, you got to trust and you got to know that there's something about trusting in God. He said, I will not put more on you than you can bear. I know what you can handle. I know you. I made you. But if you just trust me, stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to figure what's going on. Stop trying to make this happen and make that happen and rob Peter and pay Paul and just watch me. Yeah, the fire looks hot. Yeah, the fire looks bad. But when I put you in the fire, I'm going to cover you in my blood because I told you that surely, I promise you that goodness and mercy is going to always follow you. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. So if you just trust me, I might let you go through the fire, but see, in the midst of the fire, I'm going to get you the promotion that you need, but I'm also going to get your boss saved so now that he'll get off your back. See, in the midst of the fire, you was having a hard time at home. Maybe your husband wasn't doing what you wanted him to do, but because you shut up and went through the fire, he saw what God did for you, and now God changed things in the house and saved your husband. You've been asking God, fix it for me. Now let God fix it. Don't ask God to do something and then, oh, I can't handle this, I can't handle that. There's a blessing in the midst of the fire. If you just stand still, see the handwork of God
Watch God move. Watch God work. There's a blessing. There is a blessing in the midst of the fire. I'm here to tell you this evening, stand still, stop worrying, and let God work.
Hallelujah.
I promise you he'll bring you out on top.
Yes.
He brought him out. And when he brought him out, everybody looked in amazement.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, look at that. Their hair is not burnt. Their clothes not burnt. They don't smell like smoke. But when they went in, they was bound up. But they walked out. You going in bound up. But baby, I promise you, you going to walk out. You going in tied up. Look like you about to fall out. But I promise you, you going to walk out. And when they walked out of the fire into a blessing. If you just do what God tells you to do,
thank you.
Obey. Instead of worrying about it, begin to worship.
Thank you, Lord.
It's something about this story that they said, look, God, if you do it, we love you. God, if you don't do it, we love you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get to a point. I'm a worshiper. God, if you save me, I love you. God, if you don't save me, I love you. I'm not praising you for what you've done, but I'm worshiping because of who you are.
Mm.
I know who you are to me. See, when you begin to realize and
That's
know
it.
Who God is to you,
mm-hmm.
you got to know who he is. And when you know who he is, then you can begin to trust him. See, he said, my sheep know my voice. Do you know his voice this evening? See, when you know his voice, you know that you can trust him. It's something about when my daddy used to speak to me, I knew that no matter what, I could trust my daddy because I knew his voice. Same way it is with God. I know his voice. I know I can trust him. I won't go with a stranger, but when I hear the voice of God, something about it. But see, in order to do that, you got to have a relationship. You got to have a relationship.
Right.
You got to be able to talk to him. You got to learn to pray without ceasing. The Bible tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's something about neology. When you get down on your knees and you begin to talk to God, and God begin to talk to you, and y'all begin to start up a conversation, it's something about it. Then you'll understand. I might not understand where you lead me, and I don't know, but I trust you. I don't know where you're going to take me, but I trust you because I know that you got the best in mind for me.
Amen.
He told you a long time ago, long before you ever came, I know the thoughts that I think of you.
Yeah.
I know what I got in store for you.
Yeah.
I might not work it the way you want me to work it, but I'm going to work it. I admonish you this evening and let him work it. Let him work you. Let him burn your chains. Let him burn your binds. You bound up this evening. You tied up this evening. But if you go on and walk through the fire, there's a blessing in the midst of the fire. I promise you he'll bring you out. And he won't just bring you out, but he'll bring you out as gold. You go in one way, but you'll come out another. My mom used to always say, rags to riches. You might go in looking raggedy, but you'll come out like $1 million.
Hallelujah.
Because God already knows. But see, once you've been through the fire, you can tell somebody else, I know what he did.
That's right.
See, when you've been through the fire, you can testify. You can't talk about the fire until you've been through it. But it's something about when you go through the fire and you come out, you got a story to tell because I know what he can do. I know that he's able. Somebody this evening is sick in their body, and they're saying, I don't know God, I don't know God. But see, you think you're sick for one reason, but you're sick in order for you to people to see you get healed and know that God's a healer. If you just let him do what he's got to do, all power is in his hand. He said, I'm there for you. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Let me show you the way to go. Oh, he's worthy. He's worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop just a second, see if we have any comments before we go any further.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're looking at, again, anyone that has called in. For those who are listening by internet, 347-227-4005. 4, and you're listening to Bishop Eddie Harris out of Chicago, Illinois. And the topic is, there's a blessing in the midst of a fire. We're looking at 4 minutes before closing, Bishop. Really quick, is there anyone who would like to make any comments before we just allow Bishop Harris to make his final comments? Any comments? We have all the mics open. 631-847-574-312-216. Any number. Any of these numbers like to make any comments? Your mics are hot at this time.
Amen. I just want to say the word has been a blessing to me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And me as well.
I praise God because this word connects or is an extension of the word we heard last week about the blessing of a dirty and unclean place. Because after you come out of that, God takes you through the fire so he can purify you.
Amen.
And make you prepared for the next part of the journey.
Amen.
So, Bishop, I praise God for the word that he has given you to release to us tonight. Because it blessed my soul to hear how even in the midst of the fire, God is still using us. God is still blessing us. God is still going to stay out of no way for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Also, I would like to say, too, that maintaining faith in challenging times, we were kind of held to a test, you know, to show our love and our faith for God.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? 631, I know you normally have comments. You have any
yes.
comments?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Do you have any comments?
Amen.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello? Yes, I just wanted to say quickly, how this word was powerful. It definitely was, and it was food for thought, and it was rich. I just wanted to say that part of the three Hebrew boys, God took the three and he multiplied them into many, because the king got transformed. He became a believer, and so did everybody else. So three multiplied into many. This was a rich word.
Hallelujah. Well, Bishop, we're going to let you, you know, be close, you know, with your final remarks. So we have about 1 minute remaining before we will have to shut down.
Amen. And I first just want to say thank God for the word. And as I close the scripture, the young lady that spoke brought a scripture to mind. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And this is proof of it right here. There was three. And where three were praising him, he came in the midst.
Come on, Bishop.
And when you add him in the midst, look at what happens.
Multiplied. Yeah.
So stop worrying about the numbers. Stop worrying about the count. And realize that as long as God is in the midst, a handful and God. And
yeah.
That's
good.
Amen.
That's good. Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank each and every one of you for calling in and being a part of this time. We do invite you every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We are New Beginnings Ministries. I'm Brother John, along with Dr. Suzanne, and we just hope that this was a blessing to you. And we do thank you again for this. Bishop Harris, you want to within about 5 seconds, you want to give a closing prayer.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and for this word. And now, God, we ask that you touch somebody and let them know there is a blessing in the midst of the fire.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you.
Yes.
We count it as
thank
done
you,
in your name, dear God.
Yes.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Again, we are at a close right now, so we do thank you once again. We do invite you back next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. God bless you. Remember, God loves you most.
Amen.
Good night.
No matter what you've been told, it's not just for